Welcome to the Love on the Go podcast, brought to you by Carolina's Matchmaker. I'm Lori Burzak, and for over 17 years, I've been helping singles find the relationship of their dreams all over the Carolinas. Along the journey, I've met so many amazing professionals and experts from various fields, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. What's my goal? I want to help you look at love and relationships in a new way and to grow in your understanding of how love works. Let's learn together how people have overcome personal obstacles and have found love, first and foremost with themselves. The ultimate goal is realizing that you are worthy and deserving of love. Let's get started. Today, we have Amy Anderson on the show, and Amy and I met one another at the Matchmakers Alliance conference in Cancun, Mexico in the fall, last fall. And I remember, Amy, you and I were sitting at dinner together and we got into the whole social media thing, which we'll get into in a minute. But Amy has been a matchmaker since 2003 and she owns Lynx Dating, L-I-N-X, which is a high caliber matchmaking firm that focuses on relationship minded professionals for more than 20 years. And it's essentially offline dating and a social network located in the heart of Silicon Valley. That's your niche. Plus, she has international clients as well. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me be here. I'm delighted to get down to this fantastic conversation with you and chat about all things love and relationships.
For sure. So you are in the Silicon Valley. So are you attracting a lot of men that are the techie kinds of guys?
Absolutely. So Lynx is based in the heart of Silicon Valley, right near Google and Stanford University and Meta. So definitely representing a lot of these high caliber, brainy guys. Yeah. Looking for love and sometimes clueless about how to find the right woman. And these guys are incredibly cerebral. They've been really successful in their life. Mm-hmm. And basically everything in their life is pretty much perfect. There's one missing puzzle piece and it's the woman. And so that's where my business fits into the picture, helping identify the right candidate for marriage for them. Very diverse in general in terms of clientele, all ages ranging from 20s to 70s. So kind of spanning all generations, representing both men, representing both women, and typically individuals who've been very focused, almost like a laser beam when it comes to their career and academic kind of accolades. And then they wake up at some point and realize, oh my gosh, like I have everything lined up, but like, how do I even like navigate this trying to find the right match? Or I'm seeing a really big trend right now with people coming out of very long-term marriages.
Yes.
And now just starting to navigate dating, going through separation into divorce and how to even think about that. So it's very diverse with that respect.
Interesting. So what do you recommend to women about how to attract a high caliber man?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, there's many things, right? But I would say definitely make sure that you have your own thing going on. A high caliber man is typically a busy individual, right? Yeah. He has a full, interesting life. He has a lot going on in his career, typically in his personal life. He has, you know, a network of friends and contemporaries that he's close with and interesting hobbies that stimulate him, whether it's like flying planes or sailing yachts or even golfing, right? Whatever it is, like he has like a really rich, interesting life. So a woman who's looking to attract a really high caliber, intelligent guy needs to bring something to the table by having her own set of things, typically hobbies or interests that stimulate her to make her, frankly, an interesting person. Because interesting people like to be around other interesting, like-minded people and to be part of kind of that community and really be able to kind of integrate lives and kind of level up in that regard. So I would say that would be the first thing is make sure you have a really robust, interesting life. And if you don't have some hobbies right now, then pick something up, right? Like dive into something and like learn, because that's even very attractive to a high caliber guy.
Yeah, agree. And what I've noticed sometimes though is with my high caliber guys is they're looking for someone that is interesting, obviously, that they can come home and they can have a big conversation with. And especially with a second marriage, they are looking for a woman who has a career,
Yes.
who has their own thing going, that they're not just kind of twiddling their thumbs when, waiting on their husband to come home to entertain them and to do that. And it's the sad part for me when I see a woman who dedicated her life to her husband to raise the children and let go of their careers.
Yeah.
And the husband gets bored, has an affair, goes off, and then she's stuck with, having 10 or 15 years that have gone by, without focusing on something outside of the home.
Right.
And, doesn't get enough alimony, doesn't have enough child support, and it's really, really stuck between, it's a really hard place
Yeah.
to be in. And, I encourage people to hold on to their careers. I
Yes,
really do. I don't think it's
absolutely.
wise to give it up, for anyone, for a relationship. I think it's a beautiful thing to be a stay-at-home mom, but at the same time, see if you can hold on to something so
Yes.
you can get back into the workforce. If only for yourself.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. 100%. I've seen a lot of different scenarios, exactly to your point, which really does break my heart, of women coming into my office and sharing that they met the love of their life. Typically, I've seen many times where they meet in grad school, like in their section doing their MBA at Harvard or Stanford, and they're young and they have their life ahead of them and they have what seems like a great marriage. And for a while, I'm sure it was, right? But then sometimes these women, to your point, give up career to focus on raising the kids. And again, nothing wrong with that, right? Completely like a beautiful, arguably one of the most important jobs, right, out there. But what I've seen time and time again is when these guys rise to a certain kind of level of power in their career, and everybody is kind of bowing down to them, right? They're almost like this deity when it comes to career. They carry a lot of that control to their personal lives and in the confines of the house, and that's where the marriage starts to break down. To your point, they have affairs or goodness knows what, right? And they really change. And so kind of the man that this woman originally married has become somebody else that she doesn't really know who that is. It's almost like a different identity. So I do think it's really important to keep the job, right? And even if a woman chooses to kind of give up career for marriage, I think to have things that fuel her outside of the marriage, because as we know in life throws curveballs, and inevitably there's going to be twists and turns and unexpected situations. And it's really important to have some part of your own identity outside of the marriage or of the relationship, right? And that is really, really key. So that would be like my biggest, to your point, strongest piece of advice for women looking to kind of find and attract that guy. Certainly kind of having her own thing going on for sure. I also think the other key component about this is really kind of balancing everything. So smart is sexy. A lot of these cerebral types love that brainy woman who is gonna have a certain confidence to push him in certain directions and, and really kind of call him out sometimes intellectually, right? Challenge him and not be afraid to do that. And that's really attractive. But at the same time, she's going to balance kind of the smart and sexy aspect with bringing this kind of light, fun, and really levity to the relationship. Because a lot of these guys are intense when it comes to career, and they don't want to feel like a really heavy intensity when they come home, right? Kind of like the coming home to the Supreme Court or anything. They want like fun and light and sometimes goofy, right? So kind of letting the proverbial hair down and keeping that balance, I think, is the secret sauce. So kind of like flexing the smart muscle, yet with the feminine, flirty, sassy, fun muscle, right?
Do you suggest that to your female clients? I know you take on men and women for matchmaking.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They
It's
ever
a
push
balance.
back on that and say, I don't want to dumb it down, or I don't want to appear some kind of way when that's not really me?
Exactly. Yes. I've had quite a few people just say, like, I don't want to have to kind of downplay this aspect of me because like this is who I am. And I share that it's the dance. It's like a tango, right? It's that kind of oscillation back and forth of you give a little, you kind of retract, right? And let the person kind of lean in. And it is meant to be kind of this like flirtatious kind of way of dating in the early stages, right? And my belief is it's never about changing fundamentally who you are, but it's recognizing kind of your different energies and recognizing that it is about kind of courtship and dating and allowing the man to kind of be the man and what it means to be the woman. And so there's different techniques with that, but somebody who's going to really push back and just say, I want to just flex the cerebral muscle the whole time, then might not fully kind of comprehend like what dating really should be because it should be fun and light and flirtatious and sexy at times.
Absolutely. Well, I know that, a lot of alpha females say that they want to be with an alpha male,
Right.
which I don't think is the best combination.
No.
You agree with me? Yeah. Tell me
I
more.
think case by case. I mean, I have one of my couples that's about to get married, and they're both very headstrong, very alpha, and they've actually joked. They're like, "Oh my gosh, we are literally clones of each other," and it's humorous for them, but they're like actually kind of like spooked by it because they are so similar, and for them, it works, right? Because I think he's really turned on by her strength and feminine ways and mind, which is like an aphrodisiac for him. And she's attracted to his ambitions and it just works for them. But I think for other couples, it's not necessarily the best combination, right? There has to be a bit more of a balance there. So I kind of treat all of my matches on a case by case basis in terms of like really when I'm thinking about what's going to make a long-term match flow and really work and kind of the secret sauce. Sometimes it's definitely not two alphas.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great idea. I mean, and the problem is when I do make that suggestion to my alpha women, go for a beta. They get confused, and I say, what I'm really saying is find somebody who's secure in who
Yes.
he is. And obviously, right now we're talking about heterosexual relationships.
Right.
And like, it's okay to kind of be different in your energy systems. It doesn't mean that the guy is going to be a doormat. That's
Right.
not what I'm talking about. But there has to be this symbiotic relationship, an
Yeah.
alpha beta. It doesn't matter who's the female, who's the male. Like it doesn't that energy, it doesn't matter. But it just needs to work. And so, I've made plenty of matches, and plenty of my women with my online dating management program have met that are sort of my CEO types, have met guys who are blue collar, guys who are, not at the same level in
Yeah.
terms of work, but
Right.
there's stuff that they do that is attractive to the woman that's different. They need to find something that's different from them. So it could be they know how to work with their hands, they know how to build a house, they know how to protect them, they know how to shoot a gun. They know
Absolutely.
they're muscled, and they've got a strength, an inner strength and an outer strength. It just there has to be something that man brings to the table that is something that the woman does not have, and that is what can make it attractive.
Exactly. Absolutely. At the end of the day, I find that men need to feel useful, right? They need to feel worthy in the presence of a woman and that he's helping in some way. Like you said, if he's like building or great with his hands or whatever it is, like capable and worthy, otherwise he's going to feel insecure or like the doormat, right? And no guy wants to feel like that, right? And I think the root of everything is as long as that works for the CEO woman and the blue collar guy, which I think can definitely work, they need to respect each other, right? And if she respects what he brings to the equation, right? And what he does and all the wonderful things that he kind of contributes and he respects what she does career-wise, then I think it could be a winning combination, right?
The key is just to find out what are they okay with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's interesting to me because, a lot of times the women will say to me, I really want an ambitious man. I want a guy who, it can bring home money, that is stable, that kind of thing. But it is not often that I will hear from a guy the same.
Right.
Don't
No.
hear it.
Right. Guys are completely different in terms of their set of priorities and what they need and find attractive, right? It's just, I think, a primal thing how women are thinking, logically in terms of like just that protection, that safety, that financial security, right? Very, very different than the way that men are wired. I have very few guys that are saying, I need her to have a net worth that is the same as mine, right? That said, I do a lot of thinking about this subject, and a lot of guys will tell me that having, a woman having some sort of, financial security is attractive. And that doesn't mean having a massive bank account or, really complex investments or real estate holdings or anything like that. But I think it is having a sense of her own kind of relationship with money and that her financial wheelhouse is, I'd say, at least kind of aligned with kind of his kind of values around finances. And that's a really complex subject that is not necessarily discovered till often much later on in the relationship. Of course, I'm a big proponent for couples to kind of put these topics on the table relatively early on and don't shove them under the rug because the financial bit kind of financial angle is definitely a really big one, I think, to kind of start to unpack. But I think if for guys, like a woman who has that wheelhouse in order is very attractive and ideally not being in debt, right? Not being in the red. That's kind of the appeal for them.
So what is it? This is a great conversation. What do you tell your clients? How do you open up that conversation about finances early on?
Well, I always encourage my couples, like if any of my matches are kind of progressing, that things are starting to heat up physically, emotionally, now they're entering into exclusive territory very early on. Like we're talking 1 to 2 months into that relationship to put all those kind of heavy topics on the table and don't be scared. Don't let fear hold you back, right? Whatever it is, it could be about, one's previous sexual partners. It could be about the divorce that they're going through, or it could be about, finances, religion, goals for having kids, or not having kids, right? Whatever it is, kind of addressing the kind of proverbial elephant in the room, I think is really, really critical. There's different tips I give them about kind of how to kind of vocalize and verbalize it, right? So it's not like threatening or deemed intimidating. And it should be more like a conversation. And it might be a really almost kind of like you feel like you're in molasses, kind of like, oh, it's sticky, it's uncomfortable, but like it feels so good to just put it on the table and begin kind of unpacking that. And you don't have to have all the answers right away, but you're starting the conversation. And it's also a really powerful way to see how you're working through, one could argue, conflict or differences of opinions with your potential long-term partner and see how you handle that, right? So this is a really big first step that I would encourage everybody to do.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I also highly recommend prenuptial agreements.
Yes, absolutely. Which can be very complicated. And I think that it is, again, kind of putting that out there, right? About if the male requires that, or maybe the female requires that, being smart about like when to bring that up and bring that up in a non-threatening way, because even like that word gives people, oh my gosh, you're assuming the worst. You're assuming we're totally in love and you're assuming this negative, outcome that we're going to get divorced. And that can be really a scary thing. So it is the way that it's handled kind of with kid gloves. Like for instance, I have one of my married couples and My former male client did not handle it in the best way about the prenup. She knew it was coming, but didn't know when or what it would look like or the details or anything like that until one day in her inbox, she got an email from his two attorneys representing him with the prenup locked and loaded. And it's like, okay, dear so-and-so, read this and please sign. And she's like, what? And like very upset by it because it was like this grenade that was thrown at her. And she's like, oh my gosh, like that was really insensitive. And I totally get it. It was hurtful. She was really hurt by that.
Yeah, that's hard to recover from. So did they end up figuring it out or
They
did it
did.
break it off? Okay.
They did, but it was tense. It was definitely tense because for him, he was treating it very businesslike, kind of like, well, you knew that, being with me, that this is par for the course. And she's like, yes, but this could have been handled in a more, loving way and
Oh.
kind of, just, I mean, she's such a loving soul that I can only imagine that she felt like pretty shattered by that. So they did work it out, but it was tense. I'm not gonna lie. It was definitely kind of a tense situation. So in that case, I think it's really if it's, the man that's requiring this for a woman, never sign anything till you have your own counsel. And it's really important, again, kind of for women to arm themselves with knowledge, right? Knowledge is power. And don't assume that anything's going to be kind of necessarily on your side. Like typically, these prenups are going to be kind of on the side of the person who's requiring it, right? And so it's really important to make sure you have kind of fair representation and it's balanced. And if this is the love of your life, then hire an attorney, for however much, $2,500 to read that prenup and make sure it's fair to you. And that's really important versus just signing because you just want to marry the guy, right? And you could regret that later.
Yeah, and the same goes in the reverse. And if
Absolutely.
anyone out there is listening and lives in the Carolinas, I've got a couple different people to refer you to specifically that I've had a lot of different dealings with that I would recommend. And you probably have people that you recommend in Silicon Valley for sure. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so moving along a little bit, what do you recommend to sort of have your get your clients date ready in terms of conversation topics. And I'm curious if they need a lot of coaching around how to have conversations that isn't, work related, or are they pretty sociable?
Yeah. So for the most part, my clients are social, right? They're affable, they're social. That said, they're not always like well-versed when it comes to dating and especially re-entering the dating scene, let's say after like a long marriage, and they're like, wow, like what's happening? Stumbling around. So there's a lot of areas that I help my clients with, just simple kind of preparation topics. I'd say the first and foremost is make sure you're balanced. And this could be for, catering to a male client or a female client, anybody listening, right? You really want to bring kind of harmony and balance in your life. And that starts with kind of a healthy mind and body, right? So making sure you're in a calm place as you think about putting yourself out there in the dating world, right? So, you need to think about things in your life that bring you joy, right? Whatever those are. Maybe it's a painting class, maybe it's the yoga class that you've been wanting to do and haven't done in so long because you've been too focused on kind of career. So kind of bringing those things that bring you joy into your life, I would say would be the very first step when you think about kind of preparing for dating, because when you feel that joy, you're going to be a happy person, and people like to be around other happy people, as simple as that is. And it's going to attract people into your life, right? And you're just going to seem to be radiating, happiness and joy and a smile, right? People want to be around people that are smiling and bring kind of that levity into their life versus like Debbie Downer or so serious or negative or tense or stressed, right? So that's like the simple thing I would say. So start doing those activities that bring you joy. And then kind of day of kind of date preparation, I would definitely say get a good little sweat in. Even if you're not like a huge fitness person, do a little fast walk or something to just kind of get you in kind of game mode. It's like preparing for like, a football game if you're an athlete, right? You got to kind of get mentally in the game, right? And definitely do not go immediately from work into date. I
Okay.
think there needs to be a nice kind of area, maybe that's like 30 to 45 minutes, where you just kind of like mentally get in the right frame of mind, right? If that's kind of like taking a bubble bath, if it's for women getting your makeup done professionally prior to the date, or just doing 5 minutes of mindful meditation and just kind of closing your eyes and kind of getting in the zone and visualizing kind of it's going to be a great outcome and I'm going to have fun. That's fine, right? I've seen situations not work well where people go from like crazy frenetic like work and stress and oh my God, I can't believe my boss just said this to me, to date, and then their date is picking up on that heaviness,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That just like that, you know, I even feel that kind of talking like this, it's like, whoa, right? So it's really important to kind of create that nice kind of space to then walk into the date with just kind of that date confidence. Always say kind of be looking and feeling the part. So now that you're feeling the part, look the part. So put some clothes together in your wardrobe that are only clothes that you would wear for dates, right? So I'm not saying to spend $5,000 on an extravagant wardrobe, but maybe find that dress in your closet that you've never worn that still has the tags on or that you wore years ago and want to put on again. And when you put it on, you feel beautiful, right? That's what we want. Or for guys, just be presentable, please. Women yeah. always look at shoes. So make sure your shoes are polished and not wearing cruddy sneakers, please.
No sandals.
Exactly. No sandals.
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of times guys get a pass, mm-hmm. strangely.
Yes.
Because women can sort of see past that and look at their potential. I always hear women say, I can always redress him. But, you know, what's most important is his moral and ethical value system. And I can appreciate that. But when men hire me, I often send them with my stylist to go shopping because they need to step up.
Yes,
iron your shirt, get your, you know, groom your beard.
Yes. Yes. You're speaking my language. I love it.
You know, do all the things. I think the men just either aren't taught properly or they just ignore it or they don't think it's important. Yeah. But women put a lot of time and effort into their appearance and
Absolutely.
Getting the date. And that's also why the men for sure need to be paying for these dates.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%. I think the other important thing in our era of modern dating to think about for preparation for putting yourself out in the date world is definitely if you're on social media, cleaning your presence up. This is a big one, right? Where a lot of people don't think that their respective date is going to be snooping around on the internet and looking at their Instagram. And it's really important to make sure if you do have that social media presence, to make sure that it is presentable to the external world. If you have a public profile, if you have a private one, that's fine. But I would even caution that it's still smart to make sure that it's presentable, right? And you are perceived in the way that you would want to be perceived by a potential suitor, right? And kind of removing anything that just doesn't make you look great, right? That, drunken evening of, you know, too many cocktails and or anything like that, just take it off your feed because it's just not sexy.
So smart. I agree. And I've had those conversations multiple times. It's hard because, you know, when you're in your 20s and mm-hmm. you're having fun, you're posting a lot and
totally.
You're looking sexy and all the things. And then you get into your 30s and you've upped your game in terms of your career, in terms of your wardrobe, in terms of the people that you're hanging out with and all the things you're doing with your free time. So there is definitely a disconnect between mm-hmm. people's 20s and 30s. You know what, just because you're cleaning up, just, it doesn't mean that you can hide them from your feed. You can take snapshots of it and put it in a special folder in your photos, but it doesn't have to be hanging out there anymore. Plus, if you're looking for a job, you definitely don't want to be putting those images out there.
Exactly. And so to your point, I think that's so smart to really think about this almost like, you know, treat dating like you would doing a job interview, right? If you want to land that amazing job and you've been studying about the company and you're going to be super presentable with how you appear for the interview, whether in person or on Zoom, have that same mentality for dating, right? So many of these companies or schools, certainly when there's kids applying for college, like they really need to make sure that their social media is cleaned up because everybody's looking. So all eyes are on you. Yeah. So you got to kind of have that mindset for sure, which is just, it's the era we live in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This is so interesting. I love this. Now tell me one thing. Before we got on here, you said that you just took on a client in Singapore.
Yes.
Tell me, how do you do that? How do you source matches for your client in Singapore?
Well, we just closed the contract, so we're super excited about it. He's a young gentleman who's in his late 20s and looking for somebody really brainy who will be able to just be a really lovely fit for long-term marriage for him. And we're starting to kind of think about how we're going to find these candidates. So it's something we haven't necessarily figured out yet. But one approach that we're going to do is contacting different universities in the United States and abroad. And a lot of them have amazing Singaporean or Malaysian clubs, kind of social clubs for their students and grad students. So we're going to reach out to those different clubs and basically introduce the respective kind of captain of the social club with this unique opportunity as we're kind of, you know, professional romantic headhunters for this young man in Singapore and seeing if they can introduce us to any of their members, right, as kind of one avenue. We'll also do a big push on our social media, and we're starting to kind of think about what that's going to look like as a way to kind of put it out there in the ether and see if anybody kind of bites at this unique opportunity. But we're really excited. At Links, a lot of our clients are in Silicon Valley, but we do represent people outside of Silicon Valley, such as Puerto Rico or Texas, and Singapore is a first for us. So we're really excited, and we're going to go visit the new client. So we're going to go meet him and spend time with his family and really immerse ourselves in his culture to understand who he is and how we can best represent him in this really important search. So fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, best of luck. And I'm sure you'll post it on the Matchmakers Alliance secret Facebook group page that we're both affiliated with.
Absolutely.
So look forward to seeing, learning more about your client. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, and I can't wait to see you again. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
Are you going to be back?
All right. Absolutely. Well, of course, the whole team's going to be there. So we're so excited to be at the new resort in Cancun, networking with all the amazing matchmakers. So we're delighted. Sure.
How can people find you on different socials?
Absolutely. Well, our website is linksdating.com, linxdating.com. So it's a content-rich website, and we also post different VIP searches. So we're going to be updating some of those. People can go there and even apply to meet some of our clients. So that's really fun. On social, we're on Instagram, and it's ms.linksdating. So ms.linxdating. And that's the same for Threads and whatever else we're on. TikTok, I think, too. I have not looked at our TikTok in ages, so kind of bad with that.
TikTok, I think you're at Links Dating. I don't think there's before it. Okay, good. So Ms. Links Dating for Instagram and Threads, and TikTok at Links Dating. And this will all be in the show notes. Amy, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
It was awesome. Thank you so much for having me be here.
Thanks for listening to Love on the Go. I hope you join us on our next episode. You can make sure to know when it is by following us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed it, it'd be great if you left us a review. I'd appreciate it. In the meantime, to learn more about me and how my team can help you, visit carolinasmatchmaker.com. Until next time.